Please remain standing for our sermon text this morning from Paul's letter to Ephesus. We'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 6 through 16 and then hearing about being light in dark days. So once again, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Hear now the words of our Lord. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Amen. Please be seated. As I said before, we welcome our dear brother Scott Cedar to the pulpit this morning.
When Brandon called me yesterday, he asked me, "Can you do this?" And I said, "Yes. But we shall see how it goes." So because of short preparation, let us go to the throne of grace and have what our Father would deliver to us this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given me the privilege of speaking your truth. Father, I pray that you would be with all of us. Help us to take your word and apply it to our hearts. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our Redeemer and our King. We pray this in the name of Christ, who is our King, our Prophet, and our Priest. And for his sake, amen. There is a stark contrast in the scriptures between light and darkness, especially when it comes to our Lord calling himself the light of the world. For he shines in truth brighter than the sun. He is the light. And why the world hates him and thus hates us is because we expose, just by our presence, we are to be light and expose the darkness, as the text says. The light is where God and all good dwell. The dark, conversely, conceals the evil done by those who live in that darkness. It is metaphorical, but it is also truthful. Oftentimes I remember my father telling me, "Don't stay out too late. That's when all the bad stuff happens." Right? And so, what do? As a kid, as a young adult, you go and stay out late. And then you find out, yeah, your dad was right. You shouldn't have done that. But how are we to respond? How are we to react and live thus in the light? What is to motivate us today, as we face the darkening times? We don't know what the future holds. 2 weeks from Tuesday, things may change drastically and things may not. We don't know yet. But we have a sovereign God who does know. And we must trust Him. We must be learning to please the Lord. That is the first thing we'll talk about this morning in Paul's epistle. We must learn to please the Lord. He starts out in verse 6. No one should be deceived. Don't let anyone deceive you. The way that we get deceived is by words that seem right, but are a twisting of God's word. A slight counterfeit. We must pay attention and not be deceived with empty words. Vainness, emptiness. It is words that are contrary to God's word, that take His word and make it different. Worthless ideas that have no value. I remember a set of circumstances that happened when I was working with a contract recently. I was in touch with an attorney, and the attorney said to me, she said, what we have in this contract, the reason we can't do anything with it is because it's in litigation. I said, yes, I know. I said, why? I said, it doesn't appear that there's anything wrong with it. And the lady said to me, well, there's someone who has sued based on intellectual property rights. An idea. Ideas are power. Whoever holds the ability to communicate ideas, that's what is strength. When someone has an idea taken from them, they feel slighted. In this case, the guy had signed off. He'd signed an agreement, and the IPR wasn't in vogue anymore. He couldn't do it, and they eventually threw it out, and I eventually got rid of the contract. But the thing is that you have to have some sort of idea, and that idea has to be measurable. An idea can't just be, oh yeah, you know, just come up with whatever. The idea has to be based on God's word. And when they're not, it becomes a very serious problem that could hurt us very seriously. The emptiness of these ideas are what's the problem. Because God gets very upset when His word is mistreated. Paul says the wrath of God comes upon all those. The sons of disobedience is how the ESV translates it. Maybe a better way of rendering it would be on those who disobey Him. Especially by presenting empty ideas. Therefore, do not associate with them. You say, but you know, we've got to be in the world. We can't. Well, no, that's not what he's referring to. It's not a general statement. It's a specific statement of who not to mess with. Because the bad ideas will infiltrate. You say, well, I don't hang out with anybody like this. What's the deal? Well, yeah, but we have a tendency, and I do it too. You come across an article on the internet, and you read it, and you go, wow, that's something. I never thought of that. Be discerning. Don't catch yourself just believing whatever somebody says. Check it out first. It's a form of association to just absorb stuff and then not really think it through. Oh yeah, well, the guy says he's reformed. Well, that's nice. He may or may not be. Be discerning. I know I have to tell myself that because it can cause you to believe stuff that's not really true, and then it hurts your walk with Christ. For we were once darkness. It permeated every part of our lives. But you are light now. God's truth has penetrated, and you have been illuminated by the Holy Spirit. We have been changed. We are different now. Because the Holy Spirit is present within us. And this is in the Lord. It is on account of His work. We are in Him and He is in us. Then as children of light, you are to be walking is equivalent to living. Walking in the Scriptures means, and Jesus was followed by His disciples. It really means that He was walked with. That they walked beside Him and around Him as they listened to what He had to say. And so it is with us. We walk alongside Him, meaning we live in the light of His truth. The fruit of the light that He describes in verse 9 is interesting. That fruit of being in the light is the result that light that the light of the Holy Spirit creates in our hearts and in our lives. I like how Hodge renders this. He talks about it being all forms of these things, of goodness. That which makes a person beneficent or benevolent. Goodness in this case is very specific in its term and in its usage. It is the goodness directly resultant from the work of Christ in our hearts. And that is the light that emanates from us, or at least it should. Righteousness is that quality which makes a person morally upright. It is an outward quality that emanates from an inward change of heart and life. It makes us different. The gospel changes us. We're not the people we used to be, or at least we shouldn't. We live in a region that is known for its hospitality and for its moral living. But more and more, we are going to stand out because of the decline of our culture. If you read, if one reads the commentaries on Revelation, especially Hendrickson's More Than Conquerors and others like it, you will read that the idea of the mark of the beast in their minds is that of an inability to do business without violating Scripture, without violating one's conscience. What do we see around us? The more that we walk through this century, the more we see that as being present. The final thing that we see in this section is that we emanate truth, not falsehood. The truth of God's Word ought to come out from our lives and our hearts, as opposed to the twisted ideas spoken of earlier. But we are to test what is pleasing to the Lord. We're to make sure we understand it, when we're to make sure that we carry it out. We are to seek out truth and know it so well that we recognize immediately the counterfeit. Know the truth, and it will keep you from falsehood. You'll immediately recognize when somebody's messing with God's Word improperly. The second thing we are to do is expose darkness with light. Never have fellowship with the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Those things that are not compatible with God or His holiness. The unfruitful works of darkness are the opposite of God. God is love. The works of darkness are full of hate. God gives peace, and there is no peace in the world. God is faithful, and there is no faithfulness with them. We're to stay away from it. But all the more, expose them. How do you do that if you're distant from it? By living it out. By living out God's grace in your heart and life. Not in a legalistic way, but in a way that is pleasing to Him. Through the Spirit's work, continuous work of sanctification. That work of grace in our hearts. That is why, how we are to live this out. As God's grace sanctifies us, we become more and more different from the darkened world around us. Paul says something interesting here. For the things done in secret, it is shameful to mention. Why is that? It seems like the world mentions all of the shameful things. Because it is the tendency of our sin nature that dwells in us to when we let this kind of thought get into us, that it trashes our minds. It makes us more and more able to do the things that we speak of. Jesus said it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out of him. The corruption of the heart that comes out, that spews out of our mouths. So don't think about it. Put it out of your thinking. Put it out of your thoughts. Everything exposed by light, Paul says, is made clear. Our lives expose this stuff for what it is, and that's the world doesn't like that. The world hates it because they want to hide the darkened heart. It's the nature to hide. It's the nature to be ashamed. You see that in some sinners. They get angry. They're militant against Christianity. Why is that? Why are people so angry and hateful? They don't just ridicule, they're nasty. Why is that? Why do people behave like this? Because the light exposes the darkness. And they don't want to be seen. For all that has been made visible is light. You say, well, wait a minute. You just said that it's darkness. Yeah. But we have been shown by the light of Christ. We've been made light. We've been transformed in our inner being. We've been made like Christ, and it's changed, or it's supposed to have changed us. Shown to us by the Spirit through His guidance in the Word. Demonstrated to us what the light is. That's why we encourage Bible reading. That's why we encourage you to study your Bible. Because if we don't know our Bible, if we don't know the Scripture, how can we know God? How can we know what the light is? We are commanded to learn of the Lord. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Know me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I'm carrying it for you, Jesus says. Paul quotes, he says, "Awake, sleeper. Arise from the dead. Be made alive by the Spirit, by the illuminating power of the Spirit. And Christ will shine forth to you." Jesus by being the way, the truth, and the life, by being the light of the world, enlightens us, illuminates us to knowledge. Of His presence, which causes His light to flow out from us. We benefit from His lighting us up. Because it's what He says. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Too much of our society, though, wants the opposite of that. That they may see your good deeds and pat you on the back is more what people want. But again, that's our sinfulness. Oh yeah, you're such a good guy, you know? You're such a great lady. It's God's work in our hearts, in our lives, that has changed. And our light shines before men. And finally, Paul commands us to walk like people who are wise. Live like we've got some wisdom from God. He tells us to look carefully, to pay attention to how we live. How we are walking. Not as unfit, not as unwise, not as fools. You read the Proverbs about the fool. A wise person takes a rebuke. But fools hate instruction. The fool thumbs his nose at anything that tells him that he needs to do something. And you see that from people. People, they don't want you to tell them anything. I've had employees that you try to teach them something, and no, I'm good. And then they don't know how to do it, and they blame you. It's like, okay, you were supposed to train me. Well, I tried, and you didn't want to learn. Let that never be said of the people of God, that we are wise and we learn from God's ministers. Pastor Arundale is coming soon, Lord willing. And he will bring God's word to us. Are we willing to receive it? We must be. We must give Him the deference that is due to a servant of Christ and listen and obey what He teaches us. We don't need to live like fools. We need to live like wise people. Wisdom from God, though. It's not just earthly wisdom. It's not just stuff that we come up with. It's God's wisdom. James tells us to ask of Him, and He will give us wisdom. Like Solomon. Remember, God came to Solomon and He said, "Hey, Solomon, what do you want? I'll give you anything you want. You just let me know. I'll give you riches. I'll give you the lives of your enemies." Solomon said, no, Lord, I can't rule these people. There's too many of them. I don't know what to do. I'm just a young guy and you know, I need your help. I need your wisdom. And God said, oh, you've asked correctly. I'll not only give you wisdom, I'll give you wisdom like no one else. Buying back the time, redeeming the time from the world that misuses it, because the days are evil. If Paul back then said the days were evil, they still are. Darkness is all around us. And by extension, evil. The more we live in the light of Christ's grace, the more we shun the darkness and embrace the light. It is our task, moment by moment, in the light, to live in the light, asking for God to increase our faith so that we grow together in grace and become more and more like Jesus. That's what we have to do. We have to grow. And we have to become more like Him. May we do this. And may we do it together as one in Him, to the glory of His great grace. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You, through Your Son, have given us light and life. We ask that You would move in our hearts, making us one, drawing us to Yourself. Almighty Father, sanctify us through Your truth, because Your word is truth. And make us more and more like our Savior, who is the light of the world. Be with us and bless us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.